I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Reading verses 36 through 39. There's many titles that we could think of to put on this message this morning. We could think about wanting what He wants. That would surely be applicable to this. We could think about, just take over, Lord. And then we could think about, Lord, what do You want from my life? And there's many things that we could put a label on this message this morning, but I think most of all, we've got to see the life of Jesus and what Jesus prayed to the Father. And then I think, in essence, we've got to seek that same desire for our life. It's not what we would will for our life, but it's what God's desire of God's will is for our life. Let me just insert this before we read the Scriptures today. There are basically two wills. There's the will today that involves the desired will of God. That desired will is that every person to come to Him and know Him as their Savior, that they're birthed into the family of God, that they're born again, that they are children of God. And then there's the demanded will of God, where God has said it in His Word, and He expects us to live by it. So today, remember, the desired will and the demanded will, today they all come from the Lord. I'm glad I have received the desired will, that then I could do the demanded will. You can never do the demanded will until you come through the desired will of God, and that's to be birthed into God's family. Then cometh Jesus. This was a very heavy time in the Scriptures because Christ was hours away from the arrest and, of course, His brutal crucifixion. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. You know, Gethsemane is the place of the press. It is the place where we find, read in the Scripture, it became the place of the press for Christ. And as we read on, we see, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. You know what? The disciples couldn't even watch with him. You read the account and you look at some of the other writings in the Gospels and you find that where Jesus told them just to watch for an hour, they couldn't even do that. They fell asleep. You know, I don't think God never asks too much of us. He never puts too much on us that we can't handle it. Because He knows what's needful in your life, and He knows the change that He can make in your life, but you've got to desire what God wants for your life. But His disciples couldn't even give Him that much time to stay alert. You know, Jesus tells us to watch and pray, because the coming of the Lord is near, nigh, soon, going to happen, and could happen before this day is over. And my prayer is the prayer of John on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. So today, listen. Christ could come today. Are you living where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what He has called you to do? He goes on to tell us, then saith He to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I'm glad Jesus put that word in there. Because, see, if He had put a period, let this cup pass from me, it could have happened. But He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thy wilt. He was simply saying, and you say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, why would He pray that? He was God's Son. I mean, He was God incarnate in flesh. Because not only was He fully God, but He was also fully man. And He did not desire in the flesh to go to the agony and the suffering of that cross. And I don't think any of us would. But He was willing to do what the Father had sent Him to do. Because in the book of Luke, He says, He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was the purpose of the cross, was to redeem sinful man from their sin and draw them into the presence of God. See, you know, God here is really, you think about it, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you look at, God has given and has provided all the giving. Then He just simply tells us to receive and then give our heart to Him. I don't think He's asking for an element of impossibility. I believe He is asking for something because, see, in order for you to do this, it goes back to what God's doing to start with. He is giving. And when you give your heart to the Lord, first in salvation and then in surrender, and then you serve Him, you're going to find then God's going to give more blessings to your life. So ultimately, who does all the giving anyway? It's God, isn't it? He is the giver. We are the receiver. And what little He asks of us is not big and it's not hard. But Christians seem to grasp that. They can't really seem to give the Lord their best. They give the Lord what's left of that time. And I'm not just talking about your finances. I'm talking about your total life this morning. The total stewardship of your life. It just, finances is just one minor part of it. But it involves the total self. See, I'm not worried about God getting my pocketbook. I want God to get my heart because when He gets my heart, He'll get everything else that goes with it. Amen. And God wants you surrendered this morning. Just because you're sitting in the pews of this church listening to this preacher does not mean you're surrendered. Just because you come to church every week does not mean you're surrendered. This is the easy part. Coming to church is simplistic. And folks who can't get victory in coming to church, they sure, Lord, can't get victory in anything else in their life. Amen. So therefore today, they've got to get victory first in surrender of their life that God can be God in their life today. You know, so many times we go to the Lord and we ask and we ask and we ask and heaven responds to that need and then we say, well, I'm not sure if I want that. Reminds me of this little story and I'll read it for you. It was Saturday morning at the Jones' home. It probably should be Sunday morning because that's what most people do on Sundays instead of coming to church. Amen. But it was Saturday morning at the Jones' home, and as was the custom of Mr. Jones, he took his Saturday off from work to catch up on all those little chores around the house. He climbed up on top of the roof of the second-story home, proceeded to put up a television antenna. It was large and it was tall, and as he was trying to attach the guide wires from the antenna to a section of the roof, the wind was blowing, making it even more difficult to do it. Suddenly he began to slip. He slid down the roof until he caught himself on the little metal rain gutter that went around the eaves of the roof of the second floor. In panic, he held on. He screamed up to heaven, "Is there anybody up there that can help me?" A voice from heaven came back and said, "I can help you." The man then asked, "Tell me what I should do." The voice responded, "You must let go and I will catch you." The man looked back up to heaven and said, "Is there anybody else up there to help me?" How often in our life we cry out to God, but we don't take what God gives us. How often do we seek the Lord and He pours out His will to us, but we won't take it? Reminds me of an account in the life of a lady by the name of Ruth Harms Calkins. It says, "At first, Lord, I ask you to take sides with me. I circled, I underscored, I read the words of the psalmist David, where he said, 'The Lord is with me. Maintain my right, O Lord. Let me stand before my foes.' But with all my pleading, I lay drenched in darkness until utter confusion, I cried out, 'Don't take sides, Lord. Just take over.'" Friend, we don't need to be seeking the Lord to take sides today. We need to seek the Lord to take over in our life today. We need to call upon God and desire for Him to take absolute and complete control. I contend today the problem in Christianity today is a lack of surrender to the will of God. I contend today that Christians are not living the Christian life. I contend today we're not separated, we're not sold out, and today we're not sanctified. We are not doing the will of God. And friend, you can go through the motions and you can make it look good, sound good, talk good, And you can put on a false facade of smiles and glee, but friend, if your heart's not right with God, let me tell you what, that's what God sees. Amen. God wants people surrendered and submitted to His will. How many times have we been before the Lord's presence and told Him what we want, but we never did ask Him, what did He want of us? We go to the Lord and we kind of do the quote-unquote name it and claim it situation. Well, Lord, You said in Your Word, whatsoever I shall ask in Your name, You'll do it. Let me tell you what, God is not a name it and claim it God. His will is what is important. And friend, you have got to be in the will of God for God to bless your life today. And we should not be going to God telling God what to do. We should be going to the Lord and seeking what God would have us to do. What would the Lord desire of my life? Now this morning, this is a hard-hitting message. I want your attention. Because today, this will change your life if you, one, will listen to it, and two, if you will apply it to your life. Jesus was in a very agonizing time, facing the cross. He knew He was going to face it. He knew the agony of the cross. He knew the suffering of the cross. He knew the rejection that He would encounter. He knew that before He ever stepped off the throne in heaven and came down to this earth. And He was willing, though, to do exactly what God had sent Him to do. He knew that there would be pain and difficulty. Let me tell you what, God's never promised you a rose garden. But He has promised you His presence in the trials and the troubles of life that you'll encounter. And you're going to have them when you're doing God's will. The devil is not going to applaud you in the race of your Christian life where he's going to be out there trying to put every hurdle and every stumbling block and every gutter and everything that he can to keep you from getting to the will of God. Let me tell you, friend, you stay with the Lord's plan and you've got to seek what God would have you to do. Amen. So we've got to understand, it's not us going to God and telling God what we want, it's us going to God and saying, Lord, what do You want for my life? I've heard people say, well, how do you determine the will of God? I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, show me Your will, but nothing ever happens. Well, the first question I have to ask you is, are you reading His Word? Because, see, friend, God reveals His will through different things. But one of the greatest elements of revealing His will is through His Word. That you can do the work that God's called you to do. And so therefore, we realize that when we go to the Lord, and when you're seeking the Lord, you're seeking Him in prayer. You're calling upon His name. And we understand that prayer today does not mean a manipulation of God. It means a cooperation with God. Amen. See, God is not to be manipulated, friend. He says, I change not. My will, His will, is the perfect will. His will is always the right way. It doesn't make sometimes human sense, and it doesn't make sometimes human reasoning. But we've got to realize who is in control. And when you think you're in control, that's usually when you're the most out of control. You've got to involve the will of God that you can be absolutely dead smack center in the will of God, to do the will of God, and you've got to get in the position of cooperating with God instead of being in the position of manipulating God. Amen. You may be able to manipulate people in your life, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to manipulate God. You've got to cooperate with God and seek what His will is for your life. In our text today, here we find the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of the press, the place of pressure, the place of shaping and molding, the place of putting into the image of God what He wants to do in our life. And this was shortly before the hour of destiny that He would face. You know, today we've got to realize that what became the hour of destiny became the hour of deliverance for you and I. Where, my friend, He was willing to go to the hour of destiny at the cross and to die in our place, it became the hour of deliverance that you and I could be delivered by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, therefore, today, you've got to see that He was just moments away from that hour of destiny that would equal and prove out what would be the hour of deliverance for you and I. Now we find in the Scripture the motto that should be in every believer's life. We're going to see some things this morning that I want to challenge you with. First, I find the trail that He encountered along the way. Jesus had faced ridicule, rejection, reproach, and He had faced the time of removal. There was a journey that was behind him. As we look at the life of Jesus, we think of how the Scripture tells us how he came to his own received him not. It revealed the purpose that he was coming to earth for. And the Scripture says that he came to die for lost sinners, amen. The just for the unjust. The one that would pay redemption's price totally and absolutely in full. You've got to realize Jesus did something for you and I that we could not do for ourselves. He provided for you and I what we couldn't provide for ourselves. He has given us eternal life today. And if you're born again, you better be in the position of thanking God for the eternal life and the salvation that he has given to your soul. If you're born again, you better thank God you're not going to hell. If you're born again, you better look towards heaven and praise God that he has seen fit to save your soul, that all that would come to him, he said, I'll in no wise cast out. And if you're here this morning and you've never come to him, the most important decision you can make in life is receiving Christ as your personal Savior. It's a matter of deliverance. Amen. And I think Jesus is still in the delivering business, thank God. I like what Isaiah said. Isaiah 53 is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Well, it speaks really of agony and suffering. But we realize that agony and suffering was in our stead, in our benefit, that Christ was willing to die for us. Isaiah put it this way. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, friend, listen. The Jews denounced him, the scribes doubted him, and his own disciples became traitors and defrauded him, amen. So therefore today, the soldiers despised him. They even cast lots for his garments. And we realize that he was denied of his own. His own disciples, he sat at the table, and you read in the account in John 13, and he was talking to his disciples, and he gave the startling evidence that one would deny and one would betray. But friend, he was speaking the truth. And what was so shocking and so revealing is the disciples knew what he was saying. And not only do we want to put our, and many times we put our emphasis on Judas Iscariot and Peter, but wait a minute. How about the other disciples that went back to the trades of life that they came from? God didn't call them to go back to be fishers of fish. He called them to be fishers of men. And friend, he's called you to do a work. He hasn't called you to go back to that old lifestyle. He hasn't called you to go back to that old way of living. He has brought you out and delivered you that you can go on and go forward with what he's got in store for your life. Because see, it's God's desire and it's God's will that he wants to bless you. Amen. And so therefore, who withholds the blessing? Is it God, or is it the fact that we're not living for him as we should? Friend, I'm telling you, it's time that Christians get sold out for the Lord. Amen. And then I think not only in the fact of what was behind him, but I think of the job that was before him. In spite of the journey that was behind him, in spite of the rejection, the ridicule, everything else that had happened, that was the job before him. You better thank God this morning that Jesus did not stop short of the goal that he came to do. Amen. You better thank God he carried it out, because you think about this for a moment. If he had not died on the cross and came up out of the grave and ascended back unto the Father and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, let me tell you what. If he had not done that, you and I would have no hope today. You say, but I keep the law and I get by with that. Well, you can't keep the law to start with. So how in the world are you going to do that to begin with? Amen. See, friend, it's not on the law. It's not on what you've done. It's all on what Christ has done for us. Amen. And boy, I'm glad today I've received newness of life and the power of God. And I'm glad today that, man, I know where the Lord is at. Amen. And I'm glad if you're willing to let him take over, he will take over. Amen. He did the job that God sent him to do. Back to Isaiah 53. Are y'all listening? Say amen. Are y'all in tune and on the page this morning? Amen. Stay with it. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with His stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord. His death on the cross was not, my friend, sealed with an exclamation point. It was sealed with an entrance point. Thank you, Jesus. Because, listen, that entrance point became the entrance where you and I could have life. Amen. That entrance point became the place where, my friend, we may go through and we have to die to ourselves and die to our sins. But, man, when you do that, you're made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God today wants you alive, but He also wants you free. Too many Christians are only alive, but they're not free. They are not delivered. They're still in the bondage of sin. They're still held by their own desires and their own flesh. But man, I'm glad the Lord, when He sets you free, He makes you free indeed. He wants to birth you, and today He wants to bless you. And you've got to let the Lord take over and have complete control of your life. You've got to set your focus on Him. And man, I mean, it's kind of like, I remember as a kid, we'd go down to my grandparents, and my uncle had a horse, and I think they had some mules and different things. And when they'd go out and they'd do plowing, they would have to put blinders on those animals, so those animals would not be distracted as to what's going around them or going on around about them, and so that they will stay focused on where they're going and what they're there to do. And so therefore, we need blinders on to the things that are going on in this world and around this world. We just need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him, author and the finish of our faith, and trusting Him in all things. Amen. We've got to put the Lord where the Lord belongs. And the Lord belongs on the heart or on the throne of your heart and not outside your life. He is not your bellhop. He's not your call boy. He is not your answer just in time of trouble. Brother, He is a present help all the time for everything. Amen. And you've got to put the Lord where the Lord belongs. You've got to dethrone yourself. And you've got to let the Lord take over in your life and control everything that's happening in your life. And when you do that and you surrender all, the devil is going to give you opposition. But I want you to know, in Christ, you will always be an overcomer. Amen. I want you to know this morning, God wants your life, and He wants to take over that He can bless you. Amen. Second this morning, the travail that He expressed in the way. Back to our text. Jesus is at the moment of destiny. And I find there's the agony of the physical travail. He suffered physically. As we preached here not too long ago on a Wednesday night, we were talking about the agony that He encountered at the cross, the beating that He took, the suffering that He took upon Himself for you and I, amen. And I find He was very sorrowful. And as I read these scriptures, it grips your heart because you find that the Lord is sorrowful and He's very heavy. Is it because of anything that He has done or said? No, it's because of the sin debt that He was bearing for you and I. See, He just wasn't bearing it at the cross. He was bearing it in the garden. He bore it when He walked up and down the streets of Galilee and Jerusalem, in the cities in Capernaum. He was bearing the sin load because the Bible says He looked on the multitudes and His heart was moved with compassion. That tells me God saw something there. He saw the need of man, but He also saw that He was the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, brother, I'm glad no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Amen. I think about how awful and heavy He was. And in Luke 22:44, it's recorded, being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Not only the physical trauma that He would experience, but also the anguish of the spiritual travail that He would encounter. Jesus told His disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." My friend, listen. His travail was so great, He says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." I believe Jesus looked in that cup and He saw something, friend. I believe He saw something in that cup that was in the form of depravity. I believe He saw something that was in the form of despondency. I believe He saw something in that cup that was in the form of defilement. And not His own, but ours.
He saw our sins, and He saw what He was bearing, and He was bearing not only the sins of one man, but He was bearing the sins of all men. He was carrying the sins of all men to the cross. He saw our sins. And my friend, He was willing to drink of the bitter cup that you and I could drink of the cup of blessings. Amen. Amen. He endured the anguish of the spiritual travail to prove that every one of us has a Gethsemane. Every one of us. Jack Taylor wrote, infirmities are the trumpets which call us to prayer. No miracle was performed in the Bible that did not begin in a problem. The greater the problem, the greater the solution through prayer. Friend, let me tell you something this morning. You may face a Gethsemane in your life. You may face a time of pressing. You may face a time of shaping and forming in your life. But I want you to know the ultimate result is God is glorified and you are blessed through it all. Amen. God is out to bless you, but He cannot do it until you say, Lord, I am willing to lay down my will for your will. I'm willing to trust you in my life that you know what you're doing, and I'm willing for you to take over completely. Preacher, I got that when I got saved. No, you didn't. You got salvation when you got saved. You got a ticket to heaven when you got saved. You got Jesus on your side when you got saved. But my friend, it doesn't happen until you come to the place of surrender and saying, Lord, take over. And let me tell you what. The Lord is not going to take a 2x4 and beat you to an altar to do that. You've got to want it to get it. Amen. You've got to desire it to be blessed. And friend, I'm glad this morning there's more to it than just salvation. And I'm glad I'm more than just saved this morning. I want to be so full of Him that, brother, I mean to tell you, I don't see nothing but Jesus. Amen. And that should be our desire. I mean, it's time that we step another step forward, another rung on the ladder, another place that God wants to take us. And I believe today is the day of beginning where we have got to get focused totally and absolutely on the Lord. Amen. I believe that coming November, we're setting aside a date. I got some information from an evangelist by the name of David Wood, and they're declaring, I believe it's November the 7th, as National Soul Day. And we're going to be a part of it. And we're going to work hard starting in the next year and up to November, the first Sunday, I believe it is, or the 7th in that neighborhood, that range. And man, let me tell you what, we're going to see a flood of souls be saved because we're going to be willing to do the work. Now, if nobody gets saved, we can't point our finger to God. We can go to the mirror and point our finger where the finger belongs, and that's to ourselves because we were not willing to do the will that God's called us to do. You know what God's called you to do? He's called you to be a soul winner. Amen. That's just your responsibility. You better read the Bible, buddy. That's your responsibility to do. That's every child of God's responsibility. God's called you to live in His will. His will that you're a soul winner. But you know what? I contend with this. And I'm not going to go into the little minor issues. I'm going to deal with the one major issue. And that is surrendering your heart. Because when you surrender your heart to the will of God, all these other things will fall smack dab into place. We can deal with the little minor issues, you know. We can talk about all the mess that's going on in the world. We can talk about you need to be in church, you need to pray, you need to give, you need to go, you need to tell, you need. What you need to do first is surrender your heart to the Lord, and then all these other things will happen as a part of it. Amen. I'm saying this. I'm saying we need to surrender to the will of God. We've got to do it, brother, that God's glorified and that we are blessed and other lives are touched. Lastly this morning, the triumph that was expressed for the way. We've seen the trail that He encountered, the trial that He encountered along the way. We've seen the travail He expressed in the way. And now we see the triumph that He expresses for the way. Jesus experienced triumph. The cross did not become a defeat. He was glorified through it. Amen. Here's the reason why. You got two things and I'm through. And I want you to listen to this and I want you to absorb it. Because let me tell you, if it was necessary, say necessary, if it was necessary for Jesus is far necessary for you and I. Amen. I see first a hunger to know the will of God. How hungry are you today for the Lord? Most of you are sitting there today and you're thinking about, gee whiz, it's almost time to go. I'm hungry for, you know, this, that, and all this physical food that we're going. Friend, let me tell you what. You better forget the physical food. You better latch on to some spiritual food today. Amen. Amen. We could all do without a meal or two anyway. A hunger to know the will of God. Jesus had a hunger to know the will of God. And I know that we think, well, He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Well, man, if it was necessary for Him, we better latch on to that too. Amen. We better have a hunger today for the Lord and His will. And I believe today that in Jesus' moment of derision and decision and destiny, I believe He hungered to know the will of God. I believe that's what I grabbed from that text that I read today. He wanted to do and know the will of God. He hungered for it, amen. He said, well, He already knew it. Yes, but friend, let me tell you, He hungered. He hungered. You know what? I believe when you hunger for the will of God, I believe you'll just not be satisfied in doing anything except what glorifies the Lord. Amen. I believe you won't be satisfied unless you're in the presence of God. Because the more you're in His presence, are you listening? The more you're in His presence, the more real He's going to become in your life. Amen. Some of y'all serve this size God. And some of you serve this size God. Amen. It's not the limitation that God has. It's the limitation that you put on Him. Because your God's not a big God because He's not big and in control of your life. But let me tell you, when you take and you surrender every bit of your life to Him, all of a sudden God becomes mammoth in your life. You're overshadowed by Him. You enter into the secret place where He is at. You experience Him and you get a hunger for Him and you'll find yourself up in the middle of the night and desiring to be with Him in conversation. You'll find yourself hungering to be with God's people. You'll find yourself seeking and crying out and hungering for the Lord because nothing else will satisfy. You've tasted of the world and it doesn't work. But oh, but when you taste of God, it's a hunger that's satisfied. It's a hunger that, my friend, wells up within you and nothing else. I mean, the world becomes so unimportant. Your life and your career and all the things that you're looking for all of a sudden become secondary. But lo, the Lord becomes primary in your life. Amen. A hunger for Him. A hunger for Him. Just how hungry are you for Him today? How hungry are you for Him to bless you? How hungry are you for your lost family members and co-workers and neighbors and people you associate or run with? How hungry are you for them to be saved today? How hungry are you for your home and your family to be blessed of God? I'm telling you, my friend, you've got to get a hunger for God. And you've got to get something with the Lord that nothing else, your focus on the world, your focus on everything else has become absolutely diminished. You're not interested in that. You just want Him, amen. And a hunger that you have for Him. Do you have that hunger today? Not only a hunger to know the will, but a heart to do the will. A heart to do His will. If there's no hunger to know the will, there's not going to be any heart to do the will. You're not going to get to number two until you get to number one. If you don't have the hunger, you'll never have the heart. An author wrote, Lord, I'm willing to receive what You give, to lack what You withhold, to relinquish what You take, to suffer what You inflict, and to be what You require. Could we say that today? Are we so determined to do God's will, we're saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Lord. Just take over. See, if you have the hunger and you have the heart for the will of God, then in spite of the trial, you'll have the triumph. Some of you won't triumph in your life today. I'm going to tell you. I just gave it to you. Get the hunger and get the heart. Go for it. don't stop short of it. Here's the bottom line. In knowing God, we find His will. In loving God, we follow His will. I got to tell you that again. In knowing God, we find His will. In loving God, we follow His will. You know it's the will of God that you prosper and be blessed of God? The Word says so. You know it's God's will today that your family be saved? You know it's the will of God today that your life be blessed, healing be applied, and grace and mercy be poured out? So who's holding it back? Is it God? Or is it our lack of surrender to God that keeps it from happening? And knowing His will, and hungry will, you'll find it. And loving His will, my friend, you're going to follow it. You're going to stay with it. Today's your day. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I just want you to take over. Are you willing to say that today? Are you willing to make that step? I mean, today is your day of purpose. Today is your day of deliberately, purposely coming to God and saying, Lord, I want what you want for me. Now, some of you will and some of you won't. Those who want the blessings of God will. And those who want to stay in the same grave that they're in. You know, that's nothing but a rut, right? You know what a rut is? It's nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. You make the choice. God doesn't make it for you. You make the choice. Either the will of God or your own will. Controlled by God or controlled by the world, yourself, and circumstances. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better take God's way. You better apply God's word and will and work to your life. And then you'll find God will bless you greater than He's ever blessed you before. Is it going to be easy, preacher? No. No, it's not. Because anything that really has value is not easy anyway, is it? Anything that really carries with it value is not easy. You've got to put some work and sacrifice and effort and energy into it, and God will bless it. Because you know what all that proves today? It proves that you're committed to going all the way with Him. And whatever it takes. Regardless of hard times, good times, bright days, dark days, valleys or mountains, you're willing to go all the way with Him. Lord, just take over. Here's Bowdoin's prayer.